烟里也滴了毒的白日巡兵，感觉贵。
afternoon, everyone, and welcome inside Bank of the Chain Stadium, where Lynchburg Hill Camp and the Augusta Green Jackets. That's a matchup we have not said in quite some time, as the Green Jackets make their way to the Hill City for this huge matchup that should be a good one. First of all, alongside Connor Young, and before we introduce ourselves, and we will start to toss it down to a few months here, Steve Stillwell set the defense and tonight's
game. All right, fans, it's time to make some noise for your Lynchburg Hillcats. In right field, number 46, Lynchburg the Dewey. In center field, number 8, Jason Turio. In left field, number 5, Tommy Hall. At first base, number 24, Ralphie Velasquez. At second base, number 7, Brent Aldui. At shortstop, number 10, Kristen Napstead. At third base, number 2, Juan Benjamin. Doing the catching tonight, number 11, Benwell DeHeehan. And then in the interview, look at number 23, Luis Durango. And on the mound, number 27, Alonzo Richardson. Here he'll cast a man in by number 39, Jordan Smith. Fans, at this time, we ask you to please rise and climb the Twitter hat as we honor America with the singing of our national anthem by Greg Irwin.
Can you see?
Time for baseball in the Hill City. Jason Burrow alongside Connor Young.
Hi, Jason. Beautiful.
On the bump for the Hill Cats today, alongside Richardson. Richardson has been pretty strong this season. 4-2 with a 3.71 ERA, though his last outing, for the first time this season, it was the long ball that got him in trouble.
Yeah, he gave up both of his lone home runs on the season in last start against Delmarva in a six-game series where the Shorebirds were just hitting him out left and right. 8 home runs in 6 games for Delmarva, but You said it. He's been one of the most consistent arms in the Hellcats rotation, especially through the month of May, where he really found his groove. He's also proven that he can reliably go deep into games. I mean, you have to look back 5 starts for a start where he didn't go 5 innings plus. So far in June, it hasn't been as clean. He's only pitched in 1 game. And it was that 6-hit, 3 earned run, 2 of them being home run game against Delmarva, where he went 5 innings and was saddled with the eventual 6-3 loss. But you just got to get back to his May form, where he was fantastic. In that month, he had an ERA of 2.57, and we've seen that for the majority here at home. His great starts have been here at the Bank of James Stadium, so maybe some home cooking is all Alonzo Richardson needed to get back in his winning ways.
The unfamiliar is an understatement, but that's what the Augusta Green Jackets are to the Hellcats at this point. So quickly take us through the lineup.
For Augusta, they're going to have a leadoff man they really are excited about, not only in Augusta, but up the food chain in the Atlanta farm system. And Isaiah Drake, you'll see him in just a moment. Luis Sanchez will bat second. Verdung will bat third. Celedonio will bat fourth. McGee fifth. Figueroa sixth. Kern seventh. Oral and Godman will bat eighth and ninth.
First pitch from Richardson is fouled back to the screen for strike one at exactly 6:33, the first pitch. 78 degrees and sunny. Perfect June afternoon. That's the 0-1 from Richardson. This is high and wide, 1-1. We've had some interesting weather in Lynchburg this season, but today, I don't want to jinx it. It's absolutely gorgeous. 1-1. Caught the outside corner, called strike 1-2. Richardson. 5'11", 165, 21 years old. From San Diego, has it grounded fair down the left field line. Tough luck. Just caught inside the bag. Hawk misplays it off the wall in left field. As a leadoff double for Isaiah Drake, will get Augusta going early.
That was stung just about right on the chalk. It was a 92-mile-an-hour fastball that Drake was late on, but able to get enough wood on it, pick up a double, and you see out of the box, he's just heading for second all the way. He's got lightning speed and set the table for an Augusta offense that this season has struggled, but they are coming off 3 straight wins where the offense came up big.
First pitch to Luis Sanchez. Is fouled at the plate. Sanchez batting 211, 1 home run, 16 RBIs. He steps in for the runner in scoring position. Nobody out. Richardson pauses at the belt, checks second. The 0-1 is fouled back to the screen.
First count, 2.
Sanchez, one of the few Green Jackets who didn't have a fantastic series at the plate in their last series, where they won just their first series of the season. He went 2-for-18 with 3 strikeouts, a walk, and a stolen base.
The 0-2. Went upstairs, 4 miles an hour, and Sanchez couldn't lay off as Richardson picks up his first strikeout. Not something that we're going to see from him too often for his left-hand nose up. Good run here in the first inning. Over gun. Step in.
Richardson's been a workhorse. He's been an innings eater, and he does that through a lot of contact. Like you said, Jason, not a huge strikeout guy. He's gone for 51 innings coming into today, with just 35 strikeouts in those 51 innings.
Head of Verdun, 0-1. Runner on, second, one away. Drake, after the leadoff double, in scoring position. Runner takes off for third. The pitch is in the zone. The throw down. A tab. And they did not get him. Mejias with a good strong throw to third. Reginald Webb had his fist clenched, but he signaled safe.
Sure was close. Aggressive base running from Augusta. And we even heard a little bit about that. And the voice of the Green Jackets in the pregame interview, they really like to run. The infield has to come in now.
Running into deep center field, Churio will backpedal, make the running ground, tagging and scoring from third.
is break, and Augusta takes the 1-0 lead.
That's what Isaiah Drake can do for you. When he gets on, he's a problem on the base pass. Issue for him has been getting on. You'd like to see him find his way on base a little bit more this season. But he stings a double, steals a base, just like that old it takes is a long fly ball to get him in.
First pitch misses to Jeremy Celedonio. Batting .333, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs. The second pitch, he pops it up to right field. Lexer Sadui will track underneath it and make the grab. Leadoff double, comes home to score the Wilbur Dunn sacrifice fly. Augusta leads it 1-0 in the Lexburg Hill Caps.
Plus, for 25 years, we focused on developing the strength of our business. We earned the trust of our customers, partners, and employees by delivering professional service and maintaining the integrity of our core values. And we're proud to make good on our commitment for each of our communities. Strength, trust, commitment. Standing on this foundation, we're strong and stand ready for you. I'm Bob Chappell, and I invite you to bank with us.
If your Hillcats score 5 runs to spell out wing, the first 100 fans will receive a Buffalo Wild Wings coupon. Buffalo Wild Wings on 4th Road is the place to celebrate before and after Hillcats games. Join them for their BOGO Tuesdays and Thursdays, as well as happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. Plus, by becoming a Blazer Rewards member, you can score free meetups, food, and more just for your loyalty. Buffalo Wild Wings on 4th Road in Lynchburg, the greatest of all time.
Cooper Family McDonald's has sponsored the McDouble of the game. The Hillcats players in McDouble family will be collecting McDouble yesterday. We'll come home with a free McDouble coupon courtesy of Cooper Family McDonald's. Tonight's McDouble section is Section 1.
Connor Young with the Owensburg Hillcats Radio Network. Augusta strikes for 1 in the top of the first. Isaiah Drake to the table with a leadoff double. He would be driven home by Jeremy Celedonio. By Will Verdung, that is, on the sacrifice fly. On the bump for the Green Jackets will be Jeremy Reyes, making his Carolina League debut. He dominated the FCL in 5 appearances this season, 4 starts, 3-8-24, 3 earned runs in 21 and 2/3 innings. He struggled with command back in 2023, but that sure improved in 2024 so far this season. It's still a feature that you're not exactly enthused about, or maybe you just think there needs to be some improvement if you're Reyes. What you're excited about, though, in this player is he's 18 years old for 1, and for 2, he's got a high-powered fastball that flirts with the upper 90s. That is a combination that is going to shoot him up the prospect boards, you would have to think. First pitch outside at 92 to the leadoff man, Tommy Hawk. He'll work fastball, slider, changeup. The order for Lynchburg will be Hawk, Velasquez, Churio, Napchick, Mejias, Benjamin, Durango, Sadui, all doing batting 8th and 9th to round things off for the Hillcats. 2-0 to Tommy Hawk. Good to see Tommy Hawk back in the lineup. He was in the lineup for the Delmarva series, if we haven't seen him here at home in a while. He went down with injury a couple weeks ago. Went 1-for-4 in his last game with a walk. The 2-1 to the leadoff man inside. Good patience from Hawk to work into a good count. The defense for Augusta, begotten behind the plate, Verdung, McGee, Figueroa, Sanchez in the infield, Worrell, Drake, and Kern on the outfield. The 3-1 upstairs and inside for ball 4, Tommy Hawk. Much like his leadoff counterpart on the other end. For Augusta, and Isaiah Drake gets on to start things now a little bit less flashy, drawing the walk compared to the leadoff double for Drake, but with Tommy Hawk's speed, he could be headed for second in a flash. Ralphie Velasquez will stroll into the dish, 264, 7 homers, 32 RBIs, and a first pitch strike from Jeremy Reyes. Lynchburg fell to Delmarva once again on Sunday in their last game. That game was not only a loss on the day, as Velasquez flails, but it locked up the Hillcats' second series loss of the season to Delmarva, and both came at key times where really felt like Lynchburg were heating up just to be slowed down by the Shorebirds. It's an 0-2 count to Velasquez. Reyes pauses at the belt, gets the side from Godman. swinging as Velasquez taking off his hawk, and that ball is past the shortstop Figueroa into shallow center. Laying out completely was Hawk. He went head first into second base, wasn't able to get up in time to take off for third. It's going to be tough to swing either way with Drake coming in and clearing him on that ball. But it's a strikeout for Reyes, his first at the single A level, and it comes thanks to Ralphie Velasquez, who has not struck out a lot this season. Goes down via the K in his first at bat today. Brings up Jason Churio, who'll take a pitch outside for a ball. Just the 36th strikeout of the season for Ralphie Velasquez. To give some context to that, he has 33 walks on the year. 1-0 fouled straight back for Jason Churio. 1-1 count. One walk, one strikeout for Jeremy Reyes in his first inning in the Carolina League. Swing and a miss for Churio right under the bat. Got a piece of it, but into the glove of Godman as Reyes once again works out in front. This time it was a good slider with late break that fooled Churio. Tommy Hawk led off with a leadoff walk and stole his 12th base of the season. Grounded to first, foul. We'll do the 1-2 again with one out here in the bottom of the first. But yeah, for Lynchburg, they come off a really dominant series against Salem here at home, where I believe at best they were 3 games out of first place in the second place spot. And you've got Delmarva, who's 19-37 as it is now, and their record was even worse heading into that series on the road for Lynchburg after the Salem series win here at home. And once again, they just can't take care of business. And now, with the first half of the season closing in rapidly, you feel like you really need to take all 6 just about to get back into the race, as they currently trail Carolina by 5 games. Hawk dances off second. Reyes to Churio is another slider, not as good as the first we saw in this at-bat, as it'll go full. The payoff pitch to Jason Churio, up the middle. Figueroa has it played perfectly right behind the second base bag. Jason Churio will make the second out of the inning. It'll push over Tommy Hawk 90 feet from scoring.
Number 10.
Where Isaiah Drake found himself after a double and stolen base at the top of the first. However, he stood at third with just one out in the inning, so all it took was a sacrifice fly from Verdung to get him home. Knapchick will have to work a little bit harder to get his leadoff man back in the dugout in the inning rolling. This is sent deep into the right center. Going back on it is Drake, and he'll call off the right fielder Kern to make the one-handed grab. Knapchick, first pitch swinging, sent a drive into that ball.
Thank you to James.
Isaiah Drake covering a lot of ground in center field, able to track it down. So Tommy Hawk will get all the way to third, but be stranded there as the Hillcats trail 1-0 through one.
1479
Attention baseball fans, you ready to catch the Surfside wave? Get on your feet and join the fun. While you're enjoying your favorite team, don't forget to grab a Surfside Iced Tea Club Vodka, the perfect blend of premium vodka and real tea with only 100 calories and just 2 grams of sugar, all with absolutely zero bubbles. Surfside flavors include iced tea,
I don't know for how long, but I'm the TV, and it's supposed to be up, but I don't.
Okay. No worries. I got it.
For more information on Liberty Club Sports program, make sure to follow the play on social media.
Water Young you from the bank of the James Stadium in the old city, Lynchburg, Virginia, where the Green Jackets were out in front through one inning of play, 1-0. Alonzo Richardson heads back out on the bump for his second inning of work. Gave up both of the home runs he's allowed this season in his last start against Delmarva. He went 5 innings still. And you have to go back all the way to May 4th for the last start where he didn't go 5 innings or more. Pretty impressive.
The top of the second inning for the
how lengthy Alonzo Richardson starts have been in 2024. Been allowing a run in the top of the first. Dan McGee. That from the left side. See a first pitch strike. McGee bats 239, one homer, 10 RBIs. Went 0 for 3 with 2 strikeouts. In Augusta's last game on Sunday, he's down on the count 0-2 to Richardson. The 0-2. This is low. McGee went 2 for 17 with 7 strikeouts one series ago. He's been prone to the swing and miss. Got 25 strikeouts on the season through just 21 games played. Luckily, facing a righty, the 2-2. Swung on and missed for strikeout number 2 for Alonzo Richardson. Cam McGee was though against a righty in that plate appearance, getting a lefty-righty split, still not able to make do against Richardson. However, he's been much better against right-handed pitching this season. He bats 267 against righties, has not picked up a hit against the southpaw this year. That'll bring up Laker Figueroa. Another first pitch strike on the outside half for Alonzo Richardson. He starts off Figueroa and McGee the same way. He would love to put down the shortstop the same way he was able to take care of the second baseman. The throw from Benjamin in time for out number 2. Not a strikeout, but an out nonetheless. And hey, it takes less pitches for Richardson, who's now gone for 20. One inning and 2/3. I'd like to see that pitch count staying low for Richardson. That's where he really makes his money. Quick innings. 2 outs here. The top of the second. Cade Kern watches outside for ball 1 on a slider at 81 miles an hour. This is pop foul right off the screen. Richardson will even up the count. Closing in there. Richardson continues to pinpoint the outside half. 2 fastballs right on the black. Put himself ahead in the count, 1-2. Next one misses high. 92 miles an hour on the gun once again. It was a challenge pitch to Kern. However, sailed a little high. Not tempting enough for Kern to have a go at. The 2-2 is this foul out of play. The 2-2. Lined into shallow right. Sadui makes the grab. 1-2-3 for Alonzo Richardson in the top of the second. Lynchburg trails 1-0 here in the Hill City.
Whether you're hosting clients, entertaining employees, celebrating a birthday party, raising funds for your organization, or simply taking in a ballgame with a group of people, the Hillcats will put together custom packages to make sure your event is a success. For more information, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Alright, fans, direct your attention to the video. Look at the Capital One. What's in your wallet? Shuffle. Here's the credit card. There it goes. And now I'm getting it. Thanks for playing Capital One. What's in your wallet? Shuffle.
Manuel Mejias will lead off the inning for Lynchburg. He'll be followed by Juan Benjamin and Luis Durango. 1-0 Augusta. El Bucante scored first. Back to the top of the first inning. And the games this season where Augusta has scored first, they've been pretty darn good. 16-6 on the season. Lynchburg hoping to overcome the odds already after just an inning and a half play in the Bank of the James Stadium. And on the heel, bat from the left side. Boy, we're going to see for the righty Reyes is lefty after lefty. There's no natural or sole right-handed hitters in this Lynchburg lineup. All lefties are switch hitters. And Mejias has to dodge out of the way of a bullet at 93, set for his hip. He'll dance out of the way, and that pitch will go all the way to the backstop. Mejias has been scuffling at the plate in a big way. He'll pop up to 1-0 in foul territory, out of play in the second row on the third base side. He's just gotten two hits in his last 38 at-bats, and the worst part is he came out to such a phenomenal start at the dish. So he'll pop another one up down the third baseline, this one a little closer to being a fair play, but once again foul for strike two. He was inning 314 in the month of April, and the Hillcats are really relying on him to continue to be a pivotal bat in the lower end of the middle of the order all season long. He just hasn't been stable enough to live up to that in May or even in June. In May, he held an average under the Mendoza line, and in June, it wasn't much better. This has popped up for the third straight time over this one in fair play and into the glove of the shortstop, Figueroa, who fields the pop-up just on the lip of the outfield grass behind second base for the first down. The one down to work with for Juan Benjamin. Juan Benjamin, quite the opposite of Manuel Mejias. He hasn't been scuffling as of late. He has been on a tear. First pitch to him. He swings that, and that's going to find a hole. Figueroa will lay out for it. He couldn't pull it in. Benjamin might get stuck here, as he had a big secondary lead looking for second. He'll scamper back to first. Benjamin, his average now above 230, as he will extend his hit streak to 5 straight games. He's coming off his best game of the season in Philadelphia in game 2 of the doubleheader on June 6th. He hit his first home run of the year, as well as a triple, and a 4-RBI performance that helped power Lynchburg to a 12-0 win. He's really been seeing the ball well as of late. Take off over to Benjamin from Reyes, not in time.
Well, that was fun. We got the stream back up and running.
Welcome back, Jason.
Appreciate it as Benjamin almost takes off and Reyes misses out wide for ball one to Luis Durango. Always a fun day here at Bank of the James Stadium. You never know what's going to happen. The right-hander checks and fires. Missing down and in to Durango. Two balls and no strikes. The word on Jeremy Reyes coming into the ballgame was that his bullpens could get up to 101. And in live game action, he had been measured up to 99. Right now he's sitting about 93. So that's grounded over towards second. McGee to the shortstop and back to first in inning-ending double play. So the Hillcats still trail 1-0 as we head to the third inning here on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Heroes
appear
$3 off the entire third inning. Head on over to any concession stands for the
Heroes
Beer.
All good?
Yeah. They no-call, no-show.
Hey, man, are you looking to this camp and enjoy a perfect getaway?
Interesting.
Let me introduce you to Craft Tree Falls Campground. So, campsites right on the river, four rusted cabins and bathrooms with hot water, Craft Tree Falls Campground is your place to stay this summer. Located just an hour drive from Lynchburg,
what did I miss?
Craft Tree Falls Campground is just a half mile away from the tallest waterfall east of the Mississippi. Visit www.crabtreefallscampground.com to book your stay. Make no changes on your shower for top quality kids' book presented by Cooper Family McDonald's. You find more information at promo group on the Power Course.
One,
Top of the third inning, Lynchburg still trails at 1-0. Bryson Morrow, Jacob Godman, and Isaiah Drake, the three due up for the Green Jackets. Richardson surrendered the leadoff double, but that's been all he's allowed so far.
He looked good, especially in the top of the second. Started off with a strikeout, and then was able to get Laker Figueroa to ground out in no time. Gary Kern lined up a ball pretty well in the right field. That was able to be grabbed by Sadoui as well. So 1-2-3 for Richardson puts the pitch count in a pretty good spot. That's a big recipe for success for Richardson. Because when his pitch count is in a good port, or a good area, I should say, he can be liable to go 5 innings plus. We've seen that a lot this season.
Borrell takes outside for ball one. Richardson, we mentioned it at the start of the broadcast, not a strikeout there. Pitch to contact, and there's still that need in professional baseball. That finds the corner, 1-1. He seems to be taking a little bit off of his fastball. We have seen him up around 94, 95. So he's sitting around 91, 92. There's two strikes on Worrell.
You got to keep in mind, in his last start against Delmarva, he did take a comebacker off the arm, and obviously okay enough to go today, which is good to see, and he's pitched well, but that could definitely be playing a factor in some of that.
The 2-2, driven into center field. Curia will backpedal and make the grab for number one. And as you mentioned, Connor, that comeback, he stayed in the game, but he was only given about a 95% go rate for today, which I think 95%, oh, that's fantastic, but whenever you're dealing with the player's health and injury, any sort of percentage that's not 100% is always a little bit worrisome.
That's right.
Jacob Godman takes the ball. For Richardson, probably the rainout last week helped him. That found the zone, 1-1. He was supposed to start on Sunday, and with the rain out, he got pushed to today. 1-1, down and away, 2 balls and a strike. So gaining a little bit of extra time to regain his health. It's a crucial thing for a guy like Richardson. Here's the 2-1. That's floated in the right center field, dropping in front of Sadoop for a base hit. Second hit allowed by Richardson.
Center fielder number one, Isaiah Drake.
Good board from Godman, serving as the second leadoff hitter from that 9 spot to turn the order back around for Isaiah Drake, who's 1-for-1 with a double stolen base and a run. Good day so far in just one plate appearance for Drake. His average comes in at 135. Did hit both of his home runs very recently in a series for Augusta where they put together some of their most consistent offense. He'll bunt one foul.
Well, you talk about the long ball for Augusta. That is one of their weakest points as an offense. They are tied for dead last in the Carolina League in home runs. 21. It's down and in. 1 ball, 1 strike. They had 4 home runs in their last series at home. And that was the most in one series that they've hit.
Yeah. Yep. Isaiah Drake and Celedonio each hit a pair.
Drake flares it in the shallow left. Hawk got a good beat on it. Grabs for out number 2. First of all, have to stand back in Godman. On the contrary, Lynchburg at 35 home runs, they're in fourth place in the Carolina League. But just a year or two ago, you would have thought hitting home runs for the Hillcats was a foreign idea. They were so bad at hitting home runs. They were right near the bottom. So the Hillcats, and myself included, have seen quite a lot of baseball where the power swing has been tough to come by. Crowder to third, Benjamin puts on over to first. And the inning is over. So the one-out single does no damage as we head to the bottom of the third inning of this
program. Chiropractor Dr. Rick Jenner has been serving Lynchburg for more than 20 years. If you're suffering from painful conditions, he can help. Give Dr. Jenner a call, 134-239. 9077 or visit him at 206070 Timberline Road, across from the Bingo.
Hillcats fans, be sure to vote for your favorite Hillcat this year for a chance to win new walks courtesy of Arthur's Jewelry. Visit our promo booth above Section 5 to cast your vote and submit your entry into the contest. The winner will be announced and presented with the watch during Fan Appreciation Night on September 1st. Arthur's Jewelry, can't strike out on an Arthur's Diamond.
Fans, we'd like to take the time to welcome the following groups to the Bank of the James Stadium. The Jackson Family, $2.99. Liberty Club Sports, Scrum Baseball Team, and the Eli Stewart Group.
One nothing advantage for Augusta. Jeremy Reyes remains out there for another inning. We don't know how long he'll go into this ball game. He's making his single A debut against the right hander. His numbers, down in the corner complex, solid this season. It's been consistently solid up to this point. Lexer Sanui fouls it back to the screen for strike one. Sanui, the last time he was home, a little bit of power surge. He's now up to two home runs. 189 is his batting average. That's fouled back to the screen for strike two. Reyes, right-hander. He was signed in 2023 out of Primero, Venezuela. So he's made quick work through this minor league system for the Atlanta Braves. Two-strike delivered it to Sanui. Off the inside part of the bat to center field. A diving attempt by Drake. He makes the grab for out number one. An outstanding play by Isaiah Drake in center field.
Well, we've seen already why so many Atlanta Braves fans, prospect heads, are real excited about Isaiah Drake. He's got a lot of speed. There's a great center fielder. He makes a fantastic diving play there to take a hit away from Lexer Sadui.
Ren Aldui chops it over towards second. Gobbling up on the team. Oh, it goes right underneath his glove. Aldui hustling for second. The throw bobbled in left field, and Aldui will reach it. An error by the second baseman, McGee. And Aldui gets a board. Outstanding defensive play in center field. Butterfingers play by McGee. It's a hit count to runner in scoring position with one down here in the third.
Yeah, that's a sight Green Jacket fans are accustomed to at this point. They lead the Carolina League in errors committed this season. That's number 86 on the year for Augusta. And it's a big one, as Aldui not only able to reach first, he'll take another base.
He's caught now in a rundown. Backpedaling back to second. The throw comes in late. He tries to dodge the tag, but he is retired. He got caught a little bit leaning. So a wasted opportunity for Lindstrom.
I feel like we've seen that a lot this season. Wilfredo Antunez, he leads, or his second, in the Carolina League in caught stealing. He's gotten in his fair share of rundowns. It just really takes away, especially in that position, a runner in scoring position with the top of the order coming up with one out. It's unfortunate for Aldui to make that mistake in that spot.
It's the opportunities you can't afford to waste. Runner in scoring position, less than two outs. 1-1 to Tommy Hawk. Well inside, he did a good job of getting out of the way. 2-1. Because now if Tommy Hawk picks up a base hit, that probably could have tied the ball game.
Yeah, especially when it comes off an error like that. Good teams make teams pay for making mistakes, like we saw from McGee at second.
It's 2-2. Tommy Hawk Reyes pumps and fires. Fouled away. That'll play. Hawk walked and stole second in his first plate appearance. The 2-2. Well outside, full count.
And I know I've said it a couple times already, but I'm sure glad Tommy Hawk's back, rather. He's so fun to watch the plate. Such a good hitter.
Payoff pitch. A little bit out in front of the 95-mile-an-hour fastball. And you're wondering, how is that possible? Well, the arm of Reyes, you really have to be ready. So, nonetheless, we head to the fourth inning.
Welcome back to the Bank of the James Stadium. Listening on Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network, where 1-0 advantage for the Augusta Green Jackets so far through three. They were able to notch one in the top of the first. Across the league, Carolina and Fredericksburg, they're in the bottom of the third. The Redknots out in front of that one, 1-0. Charleston and down the east, middle third, no score there. Fayetteville, 1-0 advantage at home in the top of the third against Salem, Kannapolis, and Delmarva just getting going. The same could be said for Columbia and Myrtle Beach, both in the top of the first. No score to speak of in those two nightcaps. First pitch from Richardson to Will Verdung is swung through. Lonzo Richardson continues to start off hitters. Fastball is on the outside part of the plate. Works once again against the first baseman. Second pitch up over the letters of Verdung, a 90-mile-an-hour fastball he'll watch high for ball one. His first plate appearance, he flew out and drove in a run. A long run of the contest so far. Alonzo Richardson working quickly today. He normally has a faster-than-average pace, I would say. But it seems like today he's getting the pack and just firing.
He really does. He always works quickly. You know he's going to be in rhythm. Even if he's out of rhythm.
1-2. Good breaking ball at 84. Verdung able to lay off. That was a tantalizing curveball. The 2-2. Grounded to Benjamin. Makes the throw to Velasquez in time for the first out. You know, for Richardson, talking about that kind of quick pitch, fast approach, he's a converted shortstop. And I remember, like, back in high school or even in travel ball, when you would see maybe a position player who's out on the mound pitching, they would just get to fall in and fire it. I feel like that's kind of a correlation there for a natural position player. Now Richardson, of course, primarily a pitcher and has been for a while, so it's probably not fair to call him that. This is laced into center field to the right of Christian Napchik as Celedonio will make the turn, but head back to first. He'll pick up the third hit of the ball game for the Green Jackets.
Easy swing by Celedonio. Punch it into left center field, and that'll slow down Richardson for the time being. We've seen Augusta be aggressive on the base path when they've got the runner aboard. As the voice of the Green Jackets, Noah Adcock-Howitt, said in the pregame show, anybody on this team thinks they can run.
This will be squared around for McGee, but he'll foul it off Mejias, of course, right off his hand. That is a stinger. No protection right on the top of the knuckles for Manuel Mejias.
That's going to hurt. He's been beat up time and time again. Probably more than any catcher in the Carolina League. I would put my money on it. As out comes Jordan Smith and Yuka Borgata. He just takes an absolute brutal beating behind the plate.
He really does. I mean, if you're Jordan Smith and Yuka Borgata, you feel like you're going to be hanging out at least once to talk to Manuel Mejias when he's suited up behind the plate. One down, one on. 1-1 count to Cam McGee, who bats .235 with one home run, 10 RBIs. You see a lot of one home runs, two home runs that Celedonio will take off for second. He'll have to head back. He doesn't know it yet. It's deep enough where he'll have plenty of time as Tommy Hawk will retreat back to the shadows to make the grab for out number two. As I was saying, you see a lot of one home runs, two home runs in this lineup on the season for Augusta. And as you noted, Jason, they only have 21 home runs in the season, tied for the least amount in the Carolina League. That's going to be music to the ears of the Lynchburg Hillcats, who lead the Carolina League in home runs allowed by a wide margin. First pitch to Figueroa, swung on and missed. Once again, Richardson goes back to the outside half, this time a slider. Lynchburg's allowed 50 home runs, more than double by a lot the amount of home runs Augusta has hit this season.
It's been the glaring weakness of his pitching staff, giving up the long ball. And the one guy that you could trust to not give up the long ball was Alonzo Richardson, and he gave up two in his last start. And so, just uncharacteristic for him, but characteristic for the bullpen. The whole pitching staff, rather.
The 1-1 popped out of play on the first base line. Yeah, for Richardson, he gave up two home runs, both solo shots. Now he's responsible for two of the three runs he allowed in that start. And that's what we've seen. Even the solo shots, it's just a run on the board. As Celedonio will be back, but not in time. Ralphie Velasquez knew it right away. He slapped a tag on, and he'll be the first back to the dugout. As Lynchburg is able to get out of an inning where Celedonio was able to reach first for the third hit of the ball game. As Alonzo Richardson continues to pick up pace through the second, third, and now fourth, the Hillcats will do some damage in the home half. With the fourth coming up next.
You can nominate yourself or deserve impending to be considered. Nomination will be chosen and voted on to determine who is most deserving of the free room, courtesy of Senator Barber. For more information, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.
Hi, fans. Time to see those pretty lights in our children. Ministry of Lynchburg, Smile Cam. All right, guys, smile pretty.
Jeremy Reyes, not allowed a run so far through three innings strong, and he'll head out for his fourth, making his Carolina League debut tonight. Lynchburg been able to muster his one hit, make the one Benjamin. Uncharacteristically, at least this season, has been their most consistent hitter, honestly, over the last week or so. He was on a tear against Delmarva, came into the series batting under 200, left Delmarva batting 230 plus. First pitch to Ralphie, low for ball one at 93. Velasquez 0 for 1 with a strikeout. He was the first strikeout victim for Reyes. He's put down 2 via the K. To an old account to Velasquez. The 2-0. Good patience shown from Ralphie Velasquez in his first at-bat. I noted his walk-to-strikeout ratio, which is in a fantastic spot. That might not be one of the more fun or dynamic stats to talk about in Ralphie Velasquez's season so far, as he will draw a 4/5 walk. But I think it's a really important part to his development as a prospect. He's now drawn his 34th walk in just 36 strikeouts on the season. That patience and discipline, especially for a guy with power who probably feels like they can put a run on the board with every swing, to be able to hold yourself back at times and still have discipline is really important and shows wisdom beyond his years.
You're exactly right, Connor. That's something that young Guardians prospects have been able to do. Another guy that does it really well is Jason Churio, who's at the dish right now. Just guys who, when you come in and you're really young, especially maybe out of high school or just making your stateside debut or full season debut, getting this idea that in order to make an impression in the organization, you have to take big cuts.
Yep.
You have to hit for power. You have to be the guy that changes the game with one swing. That's not the case. Cleveland, especially more than any team maybe in all of baseball, wants to see your approach at the plate. What's your demeanor like? Can you take a good at-bat? Sometimes a good at-bat that results in an out is better than a first pitch sweep. And so you don't have to try to impress with your power all the time. Cleveland, they want to see, can you be patient? Can you take pitches on the corners? Where's your eye? Is it trained? Is it well-defined? That's something that Jason Churio has done really well. Ralphie Velasquez, really over the last month, has taken a leaps and bounds stride to improve at it.
Yeah, for Ralphie especially, there's no need to prove the power. We've seen it on full display. His 7 home runs ranked within the top 10 of the Carolina League. Currently at the 6th spot. As Churio will see the first strike of the inning. From Jeremy Reyes, 2-1 count to Churio. Velasquez leads off first. Churio takes ball 3 by the shoot tops at 93 miles an hour. So Reyes starting to lose his command, which was an issue, not as much in the Florida Complex League to start this season, but the year before that in the Dominican League, command and control was a big question mark. Back-to-back walks to start off the inning for Lynchburg as command could be coming back to haunt Reyes in his Carolina League debut. The second time through the order.
Right around 70 pitches in his 4 starts, 5 starts rather, in the Florida Complex, and all the way up to even 75 pitches. And he seemed to be doing just fine down there, so he's losing a bit of his command here in Lynchburg. He did average 2 or 3 walks per game, so he wasn't necessarily clean in terms of command. He just threw way more strikeouts than he had walks. But right now, that's not really the case.
Pitching coach Elman Nina out to talk with him. Try to wrangle in his flame-throwing righty. Christian Napchik will stroll in. Nina, the lone member of the staff for Augusta who was with the team prior, he held the same role as pitching coach in 2021. Swing and a miss for Napchik on a fastball inside at 93. Napchik taking a different approach to Ralphie and Churio. He'll swing at the first pitch. Nina was drafted in the 17th round of the 1997 draft by the Oakland Athletics. Another pitch inside. This time, far closer to Napchik, shin level. Even up the count at 1. Walks 2 and 3 of the outing. Come back to back to start off the bottom of the 4th. The 1-1 to Napchik. Line. Foul off the berm and into the bushes. long and loud strike number two to Christian Knapchick, who is playing short today, and you gotta expect he's gonna be playing a lot more of that position. At least until Rafael Ramirez Jr. gets back in the lineup. 1-2 tap foul once more, so we'll do the 1-2 again. Rafael Ramirez Jr., pregame today, we saw him taking some live BP. It was good to see him get back. Continue the steps, rehabbing that seemed to be a lower back injury after a swing several series ago now. The 1-2 skipped in, found the dirt before it passed the plate, blocked by the catcher Godman.
Be nice to get Ramirez back, especially when you lose a guy like Angel Vanal. Just finding another young guy to slot into that infield role, and hopefully he learned a little bit of something from Vanal while he was here about leadership, about taking command, about helping out his pitchers. That was something that he kind of struggled with in the early going. It seemed like he would get very rattled on the infield, whereas Angel Vanal, he was the most unrattleable person that you could meet.
Full count to Knapchick. With two on, already two walks in the inning, looking to avoid the third. Grounded to second baseman McGee, who'll make the flip to the shortstop Figueroa, skip to the first baseman Verdung. As Churio out at second, Knapchick out at first. That makes things a little more interesting for Manuel Mejias, who has struggled at the dish as of late. Raulby Velasquez does advance to third, but now the Hillcats are down to the last out in the inning, and they really would like to make Reyes pay for two leadoff walks. Mejias is 2-for-39 in his last 39 at-bats.
He has gone ice cold after being really solid to start the season behind the plate. At one point, he was comfortably above 300, and now clinging to 220 batting.
His on-base percentage was hovering around 400 for the majority of the early part of the season as he'll line one into left field. Heading back is Worrell, and it's off his glove! Mejias will round first and head for second. Velasquez in the score to tie up the game. As Worrell was playing in very shallow, had to retreat back, still three or four steps shy of the warning track, was able to get leather on it, but couldn't corral the fly ball from Mejias.
And Worrell, in a roll to double. I frankly agree with him because he had a long way to go. It was over his head, and he just tried to get his glove up there and knock it down, and was not able to do it.
There's certainly other outfielders on this Augusta roster or throughout the Carolina League that aren't even getting to that ball from where he was set up. So, yeah, he has hit it well. And it was going to be a tough play regardless if he got the glove on it or not. As Mejias, maybe that's what he needs to jumpstart back to his April form. Swing and a miss from Benjamin, who's been far from his April form, and that's a good thing in the case of Juan Benjamin.
And that comes with everyday reps for Juan Benjamin. For a while, he was getting maybe one or two games a week in the lineup, but now he's up around four or five, depending on the week and the series, and he's making the most of it. He's got his average back to about 230. And for a while, he was around 170, 180, and he just looked lost at the plate.
He had a four-hit, four-RBI day against Delmarva. Both good for tying the best marks in a single game on the team. He'll tap one right into his own batter's box. Keep the count at 0-2. Spoiled a couple good pitches. That one a slider from Reyes. Mejias in scoring position after his RBI double. Deadlocks us at one. The 0-2. Into center field, shallow. Drake comes in on it and makes the grab. Mejias able to tie things up 1-1 after his double left field. Scores Ralphy Velasquez to tie us up in one. Alonzo Richardson heads out for his fifth inning. The Hillcats look to hold on in a 1-1 tie ball game here from the Hill City.
I got some gifts. I got some gifts. But these gifts are free. So if you want to hide, you got a t-shirt. If you want to get up on your feet, you got to show me how much you want.
Due up for Augusta in the top of the fifth. Alonzo Richardson was hit for a run in the top of the first. Coming around to score after a leadoff double was great. Since then, he's really batting down the hatches. Just three hits, one earned run, two strikeouts, no walks for Alonzo Richardson. His ERA falling to 3.60. It came into today around 3.70. Still got a while to go. Seeing him for the second time, the Corolla World. All three of them set down in their first plate appearances. Shortstop Figueroa comes in batting just under 200, and he'll take a swing at the first pitch. Mejias thinks he might have a play. Can't make the grab. He did have a chance. It landed on the second step of the Green Jacket dugout. There's a lot of traffic around Mejias, including Kate Kern, who was on deck and was standing pretty close to the steps of the Green Jacket dugout. The 0-1 misses high. Green Jackets, they've been bitten by the injury bug this season. They've got a lot of their guys who have missed a couple weeks, a month, due to injury, as Figueroa swings through a fastball at 89. And Figueroa is one of those guys. He missed a whole month due to a hamstring injury. He's played the majority of the shortstop reps over the last 2 weeks since he's returned. The 1-2. Grounded to Knapchick, gathers, steps, fires in time to get his shortstop counterpart for the first out on the top of the fifth inning.
Well, once again, Richardson has been a good for this point in the ballgame. Keeping another decently long outing for the right-hander. He only went 5 innings in his last start, but already several times this season he's gone over 6 innings, twice to be exact. Could see that again today.
Knapchick a busy inning, however sure-handed. Played shortstop the majority of his time in Louisville for his college years, and he's getting some more consistent time in that spot since Angel Canal left for Lake County, as we mentioned. Makes two back-to-back plays for Alonzo Richardson, who once again is breezing through an inning. First pitch misses low at 89. The 1-0. Pops. Benjamin will give it a chase. Won't cross the foul line before he loses interest. That landed in the first row off a ricochet. Almost in someone's drink. To be a souvenir instead. The 1-1 in there for a strike. Well, 0-for-1 with a flyout. Taps it down the foul line. It rolls foul onto the grass to the right of the first baseline.
That's one, if you're Worrell, you're probably hoping that it stays fair because that's going to be a long run for everybody. And he probably would have had a chance to beat that one out.
The 1-2. Richardson looking to put him down. 1-2-3. Mejias thought he did. Sure was borderline on the inside half. Cameron Jones didn't give him the benefit of the doubt. So the count will even up. Two's across the scoreboard here in a 1-1 game in the top of the fifth. 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 out. We'll go full.
Mejias was ready to throw it around the horn again after that pitch. Back-to-back that were borderline. Cameron Jones not making any friends in Lynchburg so far. Owen Smith adding some words.
Making his opinions known. The 3-2. Stung foul. He pulled it on the ground and hard. Ended up off the Schultz home side. Ralphie Velasquez will throw it to a fan on the berm. Can't make the grab.
You won't be signing a contract anytime soon.
The payoff once more. Tapped again, this time in foul play, down the first baseline once more. Ralphie Velasquez makes the chest high scoop, flips it to Richardson covering the bag for a 1-2-3 top of the fifth. Alonzo Richardson has looked blocked once again. Man, he loved pitching in the bank of the James Stadium. I love watching him, so does this Hillcats crowd. We're going to head to the bottom of the fifth, the deadlock 1-1 game, here in game 1-6 in the bank of the James.
I know there's a lot of youngsters in the house tonight. I know you love this call. So when it comes to the chorus, I want to hear you sing it loud, I want to hear you sing it proud. All right, here we go. Come on, I want to hear you.
Baseman Sanchez, who then tried to flip it to his pitcher, and it just traveled right over his glove, looking like his left fielder a little bit. And that's how the Hillcats scored their first run. Off the glove of Burrell in left field. Bounces to the grass to score Ralphie Velasquez from third. That tied us up at 1-1 where we've stayed. 1-1 count here at home to Luis Durango. Durango's 289 average leads the team. Alan Angel now is left for Lake County as he'll sky one to center. Drake collide with Morrell, but still able to make the grab. I don't know what Morrell was doing on that play. Drake clearly had that ball. I would assume was calling for it. You can't really hear it all the way back here at the booth behind home plate. But that was clearly his ball. Not only is he the center fielder who takes priority, that ball was probably trending more towards center than to left. And Morrell continues to track the ball and just body bumps Drake at the end, right when it's coming into his glove. Luckily, he's able to hold on to it.
Well, he really hasn't been here that long. In fact, assigned today. He's in his first game, so obviously a little bit of a lack of communication. And it comes with repetitions.
We'll have a try here as Sadui sends it into left and redemption. For Orel out in left field as he makes a sliding grab on the dirt and foul play for the second out of the inning. That's baseball.
It's exactly the opposite of what I was saying. But apparently, as long as he's not talking to anybody in the outfield, he does just fine. That's going to be a long run for him and heading toward the bullpen wall that jumps out down in left field. That can be a tricky play for people who've never played here before. Morrell being one of them, but he played like a pro.
2-0 count to Aldui. The 9-hitter. First day here with Augusta. Morrell in left. This will be fouled back off the screen. He started the year in a row, but was called up to Triple-A Gwinnett. Now finds himself back in the Carolina League. The 2-1 driven to right. Tracking back is Kern, who will make the grab on the warning track. Lynchburg spraying the ball across the outfield and deep into the outer stretches of the bank of the James Stadium. Each play made, one in left, one in center, one in right. 1, 2, 3, go down the cast. The bottom of the fifth, top six, coming up next. Look for Hope Cast on Radio Network.
All right, season ticket holders, that's time tonight. Will you pay your season ticket holder today? That's your problem, I'll say. Now, here's the answer called show me the money. So you show me your seats and your ticket, I'll show you the money. That's your problem today. Hey, it's a good night at baseball, two for Tuesdays. It's pretty fun. So tomorrow, we have Weedy Wednesday. $1 hot dog, we're getting crazy. $1 hot dog, and I bet you'll be like, sure, we're like running crazy. So we're going to section 7. There we go. And make sure you get your tickets for about the Thursday, Wednesday, something in Turkey Friday. Don't forget fireworks on Saturday. You can get your tickets at bookstore-showcast.com. You can turn it up on the phone. So we're jumping down to row letter F from seat 2. I think you are a winner. So if you show me your ticket and tell me, I'll show you some money. See you tomorrow.
Captain Hampton, did you drive a blue BMW with a license plate 4936TP? Please report to the promo booth.
You've seen 5 hits. 3 for Lynchburg, or excuse me, 3 for Augusta, 2 for Lynchburg. And both have been able to put across one run against Alonzo Richardson and Jeremy Reyes. Reyes, he's gone 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts. Richardson has been breezing through things, especially after the top of the first. He's gone 5 as well, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 2 strikeouts, no walks for Richardson. You'll see Jacob Godman, the 9 hitter, start off the top of the 6th. Richardson, coming into the at-bat, only thrown 63 pitches. Pitch number 64, low for ball 1.
You know, I want to talk about the play that ended the top half of the 5th inning, ground ball to first base. To many people who were watching the game, it looked like nothing of importance, as it was just Ralphie Velasquez fielding it cleanly and flipping it to Alonzo Richardson. But for those of us who have followed the scene this whole season, I saw something that I didn't see from Ralphie in the first few weeks over at first base at this level. He was confident in going out to get that baseball. That was pretty far away from the bag. In the past, he probably would have just let it go for the second baseman, which would have made the play significantly more difficult. But that time, he took the initiative, ranged out away from the first base bag, and then underhand flipped it to the pitcher, which is a very simple baseball play, but the fact that he went outside of his comfort zone as a first baseman to make that play shows growth.
Belted to left, Tommy Hawk makes the grab. Yeah, I can think of different moments for some of these younger guys playing in unfamiliar positions. Ralphie Velasquez leading the group at first base. But even Rafael Ramirez Jr., a guy we talked about earlier in the broadcast and haven't seen in a while, there were moments where there was a ball in their vicinity that they should probably make an effort for the position they're covering, and it seems like they kind of leave and expect the guy next to them is going to grab it. Velasquez did not do that there. He charged it, like you said, with confidence, as the barehanded attempt can't be watched in from Connor Justice, the first base coach. That one was stumped. I wouldn't put my hand down there for that one. The 0-1 to Isaiah Drake. He was 1-for-2 on the day. That's a strike on the outside half at 84. We haven't seen that much room on the outside be given from home plate umpire Cameron Jones today. That's, I think, why Drake was a little extra upset with the strike 2 call. He'll be rewarded with a borderline pitch on the inside half, ruled in his favor. Count goes to 1-2 with one down for Alonzo Richardson. The infield shifted to the right side. This is slap foul by Drake, very late on an 82-mile-an-hour slider on the outside half, lucky to be able to send it into the Hillcats dugout.
May have caught somebody leaning on the railing. I don't think by anything too serious, but always a scary sight.
1-2 crowds him, brings it even.
You know, continuing with the Velasquez and first base confidence, he's got to step into a role that he probably wasn't anticipating to have to step into necessarily as a 19-year-old. He's got to now be the leader on that infield. And Angel Hanan being gone, he was the only other everyday infielder that was out of the field. Tuesday through Sunday. And with Angel Hanau gone, he was the leader, by far, the vocal leader. Had to take command, had to be the one that would call everybody else off to make the play. Now, that's up to Ralphie Velasquez, and if it's not going to be the shortstop, it might as well be the first baseman, because those are the two most important positions on the infield.
The 2-2 to Drake, lined into right, heading back is Sadui, and it's over his head and off the wall. Sadui will fire into second, could be a close play. Drake fast enough to get there with a head-first dive, as he'll have two doubles to his name. One of his better days at the ditch comes here in the bird, his first game in the Hill City.
Drake has really seen the ball well over these last few weeks. Last week you mentioned that he had the two home runs. Today, already with two doubles in his last series, he went 5-for-17. Two home runs and three RBIs. Already two hits here today.
Tony Arnold. Richardson. Talking about Angel Hanau, you know, you said earlier with Rafael O'Meara Jr. hopefully coming back sooner rather than later, it would be good for him to hopefully have gained some advice and some supporting wisdom from Angel Hanau during his time on the team with Rafael O'Meara Jr. And I think one thing that Angel Hanau proves to some of these younger prospects who maybe haven't come out of the gates with as much firepower as you would hope, like Rafael O'Meara Jr., and sometimes it just takes time. I mean, you look at Angel Hanau in his first season in Lynchburg, even parts of his second, and I know those were not full seasons, but nevertheless. And then you look at what he turned into this season in 2024, just an absolute powerhouse who looked levels above the competition. The talent was seen when he was signed to the Guardians, and that's why he had so much hype. And it just took a while for that talent to be realized on the field. I think for Rafael Ramirez Jr. to look at a guy like that who you've been teammates with and seen firsthand how successful he's been, that can speak volumes to your confidence even when you might be struggling.
As a player, and we tell this to fans all the time, but as a player, you also have to remember that development is not necessarily linear. Fans and players alike, they'd like to be every 6 months making significant progress to take that next step, but that's not always how it goes. It took Angel Hanau parts of two seasons here in Lynchburg to get everything figured out, and all of a sudden, eyes are lining up across all of minor league baseball saying, wait a second, where was this guy in the last 4 years? Maybe it's the same with Rafael Ramirez Jr., where he just needs a few extra years to find that rhythm. He's still really young. He's one of the youngest guys, not just on the team, but in all of the Carolina League. This is a guy that would still be in high school. And here he is playing professional baseball. It just takes time. And it's not as easy as every 6 months to make the next step. Go through a grind.
Drake takes off for third. Outmade by Aldui at second base. For the second out of the inning, Drake was pretty much at the bag by the time Aldui made the throw. So it'll be a productive out for Luis Sanchez, but the third out he's made nonetheless. Will Verdung led up to the dash of the first. Same spot he found himself at the top of the first, except there's two outs in the inning opposed to the one. He was able to drive in the lone run for the Green Jackets via the sacrifice fly. Won't have the chance to do that here.
Now if you're Alonzo Richardson, you really want to make sure you can get out of this inning. Your offense helped you out just a little bit. They gave you one run of support. Obviously, if you're a pitcher, you'd like more, but they did their job and have secured you at this point at least a no decision. You want to be able to thank them with another scoreless inning so that you're not getting caught back and forth ball.
Did the job tying things up, and you got the top of the order due up next. Flared foul down the first baseline for strike two to Verdung. 0-for-1, with an RBI. 1-2 count here in at-bat number three. Base hit could push his average closer to 200. He'll chop one foul down the third baseline this time.
Richardson, his pitch count really creeping up there. He's about to make his 85th pitch of the night.
He came into the inning around 63, I believe. So, yeah, it's been his longest inning by far. This is Stunk in between Benjamin and Napchik on the left side of the infield. Coming in to score will be Isaiah Drake for the second time.
Designated hitter, number 34, Jeremy
Jordan
Solidio.
Smith. Make a long walk out to the bump as Alonzo Richardson will not see the conclusion of the top of the sixth inning after the RBI single from Will Verdung. He's got both the RBIs in this ball game for Augusta, and he's been driving in Isaiah Drake on both occurrences. Drake's been leading it off, and the three-hitter Verdung's been driving him in. The Augusta offense continues to trend in the right direction. Man out of the pen will look to stop that as he hopes to get out of the top of the sixth with Will Verdung on first base when we come back on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. He went two innings, not allowing a hit, run, or walk. He did strike out one as well. And we look at Alonzo Richardson's stats as they lie. Now that could change depending on how this inning goes for Parra. But as of now for Richardson, he's gone 5 2/3, 5 hits, 2 home runs, 2 strikeouts.
Good outing for Richardson. It's just a shame that the offense couldn't get him a little bit more support. But now it'll be up to Parra. Try to finish the deal here in the top half of the sixth inning.
His first move out of the pen will be a pickoff attempt. Saw that work against the Green Jackets already once today in the inning. Jeremy Solidonio, 1-for-2. Taking off is Verdung. He's in there safely. So he'll find his way in scoring position, thanks to his own merit. Another stolen bag for the Green Jackets. Stolen base number 10 on the season for Verdung. Barr looks over at him at second. Kicks and fires to the dish. Sky deep to left. Tommy Hawk. Shallow of the warning track. That hung up for a while, but eventually into his glove as he was camped under it for 3 seconds or so before it rocketed back down to the earth and into the glove of Tommy Hawk to end the inning. Alonzo Richardson, his numbers will stand as noted earlier as Durant Parra able to retire Solidonio, to get out of the top of the sixth, but not before the Green Jackets strike for one. They lead 2-1 when we head toward the bottom of the sixth.
Let's go, Chris!
Jeremy Ray is back out there again. A long week in his Carolina League debut. But he's going to be up against the top of the order. Tommy Huck, Ralphie Velasquez, Jason Israel. A lot of great so far today.
Number five.
He'll be in the free pass. Tommy Huck. Control up to the dish to lead things off in the bottom of the sixth. After Alonzo Richardson allowing the third run of the ball game, the second for Augusta. They lead 2-1. Augusta scoring first in this game back in the top of the first. This season, when the Green Jackets have scored first, they're 16-6 on the season. They also, as it stands, have out-hit Lynchburg. When they've out-hit opponents, they're 12-4 on the season. We've got a while to go to see if Lynchburg can match the 5 hits of the Green Jackets to this point.
With Jeremy Reyes, third time through the order, I don't know how long he's going to be able to get into it, but third time through the order is oftentimes when teams are finally able to make their adjustments with a guy that they have no video for. Reyes making his single-A debut. You don't have much, if any, footage from the Complex League, so you're going off of fan graphs, essentially.
Right.
Just whatever data can be scoped from.
Going back into the outfield, making a spinning throw at the second baseman, McGee, but Tommy Huck, far too fast to let that slide. We've seen him beat out infield singles all season long, and that's one that didn't even have to work too hard for, as he's in there in time for a single. Classic Tommy Huck back.
Seems like McGee likes playing off-balance.
Yeah.
He's made a lot of off-balance throws really ever since that error was committed. That's been what he's been doing pretty much the whole game, making an off-balance throw.
First pitch to Velasquez low, so that's 5 straight balls to Ralphie Velasquez after he drew a 4-pitch walk in the bottom of the fourth. He would come around to score later in that inning. And for McGee, I think it comes down to he doesn't like to come in on the baseball, and he also plays very deep in the hole at second base, and his first step is always leaning back. Now, he's been caught with some tough choppers where you have to make a decision of, can I even come in on this ball? Or do I have to sit back on it? But I think there's been some 50-50 tweeners that he's chosen to sit back on. And one, it makes that throw a little bit harder. Not too much of a worry at second. Tommy Huck back. It's a close play, but he's safe. Thankfully for Lynchburg, and they're looking to avoid their second missed cue on the base paths after the Franco Dewey pickoff.
I completely agree with you on McGee. If you're a Braves fan, you want to see him charge that baseball, even if it's going to be an in-between hop or cause him to be a little bit more rushed with things. You don't want him to be playing back and have whatever that was happen, because if he charges that baseball, even just slightly, he can go into it with a little bit more confidence and make a strong throw to first and probably get Tommy Huck out. The fact that he waited back on it and allowed it to eat him up. He didn't even come in with a confident position. He was kind of leaning back with his glove out to the side, almost as if he was afraid of getting hit by a bounce.
Tommy Huck takes off for second. Ralphie Velasquez pops it down the third base line, sprinting up against the tarp. And Sanchez out of his reach for strike two. Ralphie Velasquez had a 3-0 pitch dialed up, and he squared it up. Hold it foul. Now the count's full. There's a slugging first baseman. Tommy Huck catches breath. Head back to first. Full count to Ralphie Velasquez. The Augusta Green Jackets out in front 2-1. Tommy Huck leads off first. We'll have to wait a moment for the payoff as Tommy Huck checked up on it first for the second straight time. Been back safe in both tries from Reyes. Gone 76 pitches. Huck takes off again. Shallow left field. And foul.
Just barely foul. That was hugging the line all the way down. Worrell never had a chance because of where he was playing. That would have dropped. Jordan Smith was already waving Tommy Huck around the third. He could have tied the ball game up. Just a soft floater.
Not only was it very shallow where Worrell would have no chance to make the grab like he's that that ball also trended out of play after it bounced even further and towards the tarp, which would have been an even longer run. Tommy Hawk had the head start on the 3-2. He would have made it the second either way. And Troutley Velasquez draws back-to-back walks and back-to-back plate appearances. But leadoff man Tommy Hawk with good speed. We saw it when he beat out that infield single in scoring position for Jason Churio. Jeremy Reyes won't be the one to meet Churio, however, coming out to the mound. Manager Winston Sawyer, he'll go to the bullpen, trying to find a way to get past Jason Churio in a 2-1 game where the Hillcats have 2-1, one in scoring position in Tommy Hawk. Green Jackets go to the bench.
Love it.
When it's time to make a change, it's time to go where Wicked Diesel truck is time to go and summarize your truck at Wicked Diesel. For a bit over eating, get the Wicked Diesel Summer Special, a cooling flush, AC freon check, transmission fluid check, air filter and cabin filter check, all for $189. Go to WickedDieselPA.com, print out the coupon, and go Wicked. Wicked Diesel, better for chicken.
Silva enters the ball game, a 1-1 record, 3.48 ERA and 20 2/3 innings pitch for Silva. He owns a whiff of 1.45 and an average against of 2.53. His last appearance, he went 2 innings against Myrtle Beach, gave up 2 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts as well. 2 on for Lynchburg with their 3-hitter, Jason Churio, at the dish.
Up with Silva. Left-handers hitting 346, right-handers batting 211, and Lynchburg, a team loaded with left-handed hitters.
That's all he's going to see. Righty delivers on the first pitch. Slider on the outside half in there for a strike. Start off Jason Churio. Now, on paper, you would think Lynchburg lines up pretty well against Augusta. Green Jackets, they don't hit that much home runs. That's been the biggest issue for the Lynchburg pitching staff, is giving up long balls. They struggle against left-handed hitters. Lynchburg, that's all they got. Lefty, lefty, lefty. Against the southpaw, you'll see some bats on the right side of the plate. For the most part, against righties, they're all going to check into the left-handed batter's box. Even their hitters have struggled against southpaws, which Lynchburg has their fair share of in the rotation. The 1-1 on the inside half for a strike. Brings the count to 1-2 against Churio. He's 0-for-1 with a walk. The 1-2 offer floated into left out of play. Churio fights off an 87-mile-an-hour slider low in the zone.
That swing looked like Antunez in a two-strike.
Yeah.
Going out of the zone to protect.
It was close enough for Churio to ward it off. The 1-2. Strike 3. Not a bad start for Will Silva out of the bullpen.
Shortstop, number 10.
Top of the zone, and Churio just couldn't get his bat around on it.
That'll bring up Christian Napchick, who will now bat with a runner in scoring position. Napchick lines it into center. Drake comes in on it. Tommy Hawk waves around. The throw into the plate. In time to get him. What a throw from Isaiah Drake. Tommy Hawk, not an easy guy to throw out. But Drake put it on the money to the catcher Godman, who put the tab on the ankle of Tommy Hawk in time. Isaiah Drake, have a day.
Number 11, Manuel Lahia.
Godwin the catcher did an outstanding job there. Because Hawk thought he could go in standing up because of the way that Godwin approached the baseball. He let it get as close as possible before moving his glove. And at that point, Hawk was committed to going in standing. If he would have slid, he probably could have been safe. But because he went in standing, it gave Godwin just enough time to glove it right as Hawk was stepping on home plate.
Yeah, it's a great point. Godwin, like you said, approaching it as if the throw wasn't going to be competitive, lulls Tommy Hawk into not sliding potentially. This is up the middle once more, this time off the glove of the pitcher, as Silva will make the shovel throw over to the first baseman, Verdun. And the Hillcats, troubles on the base pass, come back to haunt him once again in the bottom of the sixth. They're still held in check to just one run here in game one of a six-game series between the Augusta Green Jackets and Lynchburg Hillcats, where the visiting Jackets lead 2-1. Jason Pro take the reins in the top of the seventh and lead us the rest of the way through.
So if you have served in our nation's military or are currently serving, we ask you to please rise so that we can show you our appreciation.
Struggled a couple times. He already has one error to his name. Probably a misplay by him in the last inning allowed Tommy Hawk to get a ball. First pitch to him. This is upstairs for ball one. McGee on the day, 0 for 2 with a strikeout. Yes. Evens the count, one apiece. Top of the seventh inning, 2-1 lead for Augusta. It's the 1-1. Missing out wide, two balls and a strike. You know, in Fredericksburg didn't exist. And Washington didn't exist. Augusta could have gone with the Augusta Nationals. Going out in this 2-2. They already have a play on the Masters tournament with their name, the Green Jackets.
Right.
Those of you who follow sports know the golf terminology as par sells it back to the spring. But that one would have been just as good.
Yeah.
I would argue. Payoff pitch popped up. Third base side out of play. Though the question then becomes, does Augusta National, the golf course, put up any sort of stink
right
about giving up those names? Augusta National, one of the most prestigious courses in the world of golf, not just here in the United States, but all across the globe. Payoff pitch to McGee. Flare shot over towards short. Backhanded by Knapchick on the run, and it's offline. Cole Velasquez off the bat. Maybe a tough play, but that would probably be a single for McGee based on how that played out.
I'd certainly give it a single with Knapchick having a range well over to the left side of the infield, just a couple steps from where Juan Benjamin was lined up at third. Going back to the Green Jackets name, I love minor league baseball teams, and a lot of them do this, but that incorporate something about the city in their name like that, like the Green Jackets nod, or the Hill Cats, of course, Lynchburg known for the Blue Ridge Mountains, and the Hill City, of course. I just think that's so cool. Across minor league baseball, the Carolina League, and so forth, those incorporations that they bring into around the community into the name.
And I'll admit, it took me, now I've been with the Hillcats for this being my third season, it took me until April of this year to figure out that Green Jackets was a nod to Augusta National. That just went right over my head. I was like, I think I even told somebody, I said, that's a stupid name. And then they said, no, it's what they give out at the Masters. Lined into center, Churio played on a hop. Back-to-back base hits to open up the top of the seventh inning for the Green Jackets.
It's their number four, to open up the plate.
Well, I'd agree with you. If it didn't have that gold Green Jacket correlation, a Green Jacket, some sort of bee that's green, never heard of that.
Listen, if I saw a green bee darting right at me, I would be terrified. Though it doesn't exist, so I wouldn't necessarily name a team after it. But the thought of a green bee, what's kryptonite?
Yeah.
Chemically altered? What's going on with this bee if it's bright green? All jokes aside, though, Augusta has played into their community quite well. They have a very nice stadium down on the corner of Georgia and South Carolina. The city known for golf. Now they say that the city of Augusta itself, when the Masters rolls around at the beginning of April, clears out. Everybody leaves town.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
They all put their homes up for rent. Not for rent per se, but on Airbnb.
Right.
Wild pitch gets away. Everybody to move up closer and par. Really struggling here in the top of the seventh inning. Now the infield will be pulled in a one-run ball game. It's 2-1.
His first outing against Delmarva was as clean as could be. Two innings, zeros all across the board until you get to the strikeout where he had one.
Got the last out in the sixth inning. Two base hits to open up this frame, and there's nobody out. Both are in scoring position. Ground ball, foul back to the screen. Eyes deceived me there. 1-2 on Cade Kern. Wouldn't necessarily call this a hot hitting Green Jackets ball club. 2-1. Breaking ball misses out wide. Three balls in the strike. Their only hitter above 250 is their designated hitter, Celedonio. The 3-1 to Kern. Out wide, ball four, and the bases are loaded, which may not be the worst situation to find yourself in. We now have a four shot at any base. Parr got himself into a bit of trouble. It's our first look at Parr here in Lynchburg. Parr up 6'3", 160. He was signed, which is rare for the Hillcats ball club makeup. He was signed from the Rangers. That missed out wide for ball one. Rangers cut him after a season in the Dominican where he didn't put up necessarily the most outstanding numbers. But Cleveland decided to take a look at him as seeing his fastball up around 95. So there's something there to work with. Cleveland, known as a pitching factory, was willing to take the risk on him. Here he is in Lynchburg. 1 year after pitching in the Dominican League, which is the same thing that we saw with Jeremy Reyes, the starter for Augusta. Now he's got the bases loaded, nobody out, top of the seventh inning in a one-run ballgame. The 1-0 roped into right field, that was 4-1. The second runner being waved around from third, the throw is going to be cut off. No, it goes underneath the glove of Velasquez. Didn't take the hop that he wanted. The runner's at the corner, still nobody out. As two runs come home.
But Augusta comfortably in front, 4-1.
Still plenty more inning left.
For Parra, you're hoping for a friendly ground ball that you can turn two off at this point, because the wheels are starting to fall off for Lynchburg.
Parra has it tipped into the glove by Godman. Now his ball club is down by three. One-run deficit, a three-run deficit. Two very big differences. You might be thinking to yourself, thank you, Captain Obvious. But in reality, a three-run deficit in the third inning, not that big.
Yeah.
In the seventh inning, is it big? Yes. But it's not that big. It's manageable. In the seventh inning, now you're into crunch time. Runner takes off from first, and the ball pops out of the glove of Mejias. Two runners in scoring position yet again for the Green Jackets. Time is of the essence now if you're the Hillcats. Any more runs that come in this inning could spell doom for the rest of the ballgame. Still nobody out.
Especially seeing as after leading a game through seven, Green Jackets this season have been very good.
Base hit in front of Churio. Another runner will come home to score. As Augusta makes it 5-1. Four hits to the inning already. First five base runs have all reached. The wheels are falling off for Lynchburg.
Augusta 14-3 when leading through seven. Now we haven't played seven full, but scoreboard starting to get rather lopsided, and that's going to cause Tony Arnold to head out to the bump to talk things over with Parra. It's just been an uncharacteristic big inning for the Green Jackets. They've just been cycling single after single. Nine hits now on the day.
Well, their team high in hits is 13. They've done it three times, but they're approaching that mark, and there's still nobody out on top of the 17th. It has not been a strong outing for Brett Parra. Richardson only gave up the two on runs. He pitched well.
Yeah.
He was in and around the strike zone. But Parra has not been able to be deceptive at all.
This is an Augusta lineup that has the worst average in the Carolina League. Scored the least amount of runs in the Carolina League. Had the most hits. The least hits, excuse me, least total bases. Died for the lowest home run count. So it's an offense that has not been swinging the bats hot so far this season, but they are today.
First out finally recorded. As Churio makes the grab in center from Isaiah Drake. Worrell comes home to score. Godman will remain at
third baseman number two, Luis Sanchez.
Luis Sanchez will step in, but now a 5-run lead for Augusta. They lead it 6-1. Wow. Ball gets away from Mahias, and he can't find it. That's going to allow the runner to try to go to third, and he'll get there without a throw. Mahias never found it, and Godman broke for second. And when Mahias struggled to find it, he kept running. He broke stride only slightly to check and see where the baseball was at. Now the infield has to be pulled in with nobody else on base. 5-run deficit, 6-1 in favor of Augusta. That misses out wide. Ball two to Sanchez. Barra reeling here in the seventh inning. Right-hander rocks, kicks, delivers. In there for a strike, 2-1.
You would think motion in the Hillcats bullpen would get going soon. Although they might be asking Parra to grit his way through this inning.
Big swing and miss. 2 balls and 2 strikes. And we are going to keep our eyes on the Carolina Fredericksburg series. They're tied up at 1 in the bottom of the 6th inning. Mudcats cling to a 5-game lead over the 2nd place Hillcats. 2-2. Fouled away. Best case scenario right now is that Fredericksburg is able to walk away with that victory. To keep you, if you lose this ball game, which right now is looking ever more likely, it keeps you only 5 games back. High chopper over the leaping head of Matchett. Into left field it goes as another RBI base hit for the Green Jackets, makes it a 5-run seventh inning. Brett Parra's day is going to be over. He can't make it out of the seventh inning. He goes 2/3 of an inning for picking up the final out of the 6th. We'll meet the new arm when we come back in the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Perez, the new pitcher for the Hillcats, 1-0 with a 2.52 ERA, 25 innings, 37 strikeouts, 13 walks. Trying to perform mop-up duty. Top of the 7th inning. This has been a long
inning.
Pittsburgh lost the tie at the top of the 6th inning and have allowed it to get away from them in the top of the 7th inning. Still time, but it's a bleak outlook for the Hillcats. Will Verdun takes well outside, ball one, as Perez couldn't command his fastball on the first pitch. Ball one.
Just an ugly half inning so far. Lynchburg, and it's all been singles. It's been choppers or liners shallow in the outfield that have just found their way to sneak past the Hillcats, as well as some walks, one from Parra. The lone out, even, coming from Isaiah Drake with a sacrifice fly that scored a run.
Everything in this inning has been productive for the Green Jackets. The 1-0 to Verdun is inside, and Mejias couldn't grip it. Allows the runner to go down to second base. If there's one knock on Mejias, is he drops a lot of balls behind the plate. And not just pitches well outside the zone. That one was just a little bit inside, and there's plenty that have been right down the heart of the plate that just pop in and out of his glove.
Yeah, for me, when I look at the way he approaches catching, he just doesn't seem to have too much of a willingness to drop down and block. He likes to get a lot with the glove. That one he didn't need to get down and block. It was in the air. But even just the way that he approaches catching that ball, he kind of just takes it on the backhand, tries to get it at the bottom of the mitt, where it's a tough place to grab that ball, especially coming in at 95. It just doesn't seem like he has a lot of intentionality with his receiving, I would say. And especially on those balls in the dirt, he likes to just kind of go up with the glove on the backhand rather than block it with the chest as much as I would like, at least.
I completely agree, and the Hillcats have had a catching coach with them for most of the season. It's fouled back to the screen, full count, is Eric Rodriguez, who has worked with these catchers to try and improve their game. He's a former minor league catcher in the Guardians organization. At that time, it would have been the Indians organization. Retired in 2021. Payoff pitch. Broken bat over towards short. Napchick charges. Fires across the diamond. There's two down. Sanchez scampers down to third.
Number 34, Jeremy Celedonio.
For Perez, he's coming off an outing where he went two innings against Delmarva, gave up two runs. Guess how they both came? Two solo shots, of course. The Shorebirds touched up Lynchburg for 8 home runs in 6 games. But for Perez, coming into an outing here where, at this point, I would say it's pretty low pressure, coming into a game where you're trail by 6, be good for him just to get back to what we've seen from him. And even that outing against Delmarva wasn't all that bad. 2 innings, 2 runs. You'll take that. It's okay. But he's been dominant at times for Lynchburg out of the pen.
Been one of their most reliable arms. Celedonio swings through it 1-1. Runner on third. And Sanchez. 1-1 from Perez. Pop behind the plate. Now find the park from him. It's 1-2 on the right-handed hitting designated hitter. He's the ninth man to bat in this inning. So for Perez. Tries to get him to chase, 2-2. For Perez, he'd like to conserve everything he can. They're probably going to try to rely on him the rest of the way, would be my guess. If Jordan's hitting the Hillcats. Don't want to have to dip into another bullpen. You don't have to. The 2-2. Jolted. Peak center field. Churio ranging back, looking up, and that ball is gone. Celedonio, his third home run of the season, and the long ball continues to plague the Hillcats this season. A 7-run, 7th inning for Augusta, and they lead it 9-1.
Another long ball that kind of feels like it's the nail in the coffin today for the Hillcats. This is the Green Jackets team that has hit the least amount of home runs in the Carolina League. And, man, it just seems like whoever's coming to town, Delmarva, Salem even, although we didn't see a lot of homers in that series, which is why the Hillcats had so much success. But Augusta, they just find a way to make these Hillcats pitchers pay with one swing of the bat, and we see it once again.
Dan McGee led off this inning with a single. takes one downstairs for ball two. You're exactly right, Kyle. It's the long ball. Time and time again. No, this one was getting out of hand before the home run was allowed. It just seems like every game where the long ball goes against Lynchburg. It's a game they find themselves defeated in.
Yeah.
2-1 to McGee. Out of the chase, one in tight. 2-2.
We've dug up the stat before, but the correlation as far as games the Hillcats allow a home run and the games they lose, it's remarkable. It's been a huge problem.
McGee chases up and in, and the inning is finally over. 10 men come to the plate for Augusta. They score 7 and lead it 9-1.
All right, man, stretch time here.
Silva. He's been in the dugout for so long. But what we can do is fully close the book on Jeremy Reyes. Reyes, 5 innings of work, 3 hits, 1 run with Lars Kern. 4 walks and 2 strikeouts. So, to man, yes, was an issue for Reyes, but game today, you are Atlanta Braves fan or just a Green Jacket fan?
Seen a decent amount of Atlanta Braves caps here in the Bank of the James Stadium for game one.
I was talking with Rob Tapster for Augusta before the ball game. We're discussing about this area in terms of baseball allegiance.
Yep.
Juan Benjamin is down on the count 0-1. And I mentioned, Benjamin picks up the base hit. Lines it in the left field. He's got a 2-hit game. Marengo will come to bat. But I mentioned, this area doesn't really have a strong
Number 23,
up away from Washington, there are newer teams who don't have that local bond. 3 hours to D.C. and have a good day with light travel. Atlanta is probably the next closest team, and you would argue that probably most of the area would fall in as Braves fans. They had to find some sort of allegiance. You got your Mets fans from the days when Lynchburg was a Mets affiliate. That was the glory days of the Hurricanes. Marengo even. You have Guardians fans because the Guardians are the current affiliate. You have Pirates fans because they used to be the affiliate. You have Red Sox fans because they used to be the affiliate, and Salem's right down the road.
Sure.
As 1-2, there's just no true team allegiance, but I mean, I guess you could probably argue that this is Braves country.
Yeah.
But even that, it's about as watered down Braves country as you can get. It's like a Dr. Pepper with ice that you left out in the sun too long.
Sure.
And all the ice melted.
Yeah.
And it becomes flat and watered down. That's what the Braves fandom is kind of like here in Lynchburg. Yes, it's probably the most dominant team, but it's not an overwhelming majority in the area. So the Braves chat don't necessarily shock me, but cool to see how baseball is kind of a melting pot in this area. Down ball over toward third. Sanchez will take the easy throw to first as McGee was late getting over to second. Should have been a double play. But I think McGee was open.
Right fielder. Right fielder.
Absolutely should have been a double play. Benjamin wasn't even in sliding distance by the time Sanchez had looked over to second base with his arm cocked, ready to throw it over. But, yeah, I don't know if there's a miscommunication between him and McGee wasn't in position to receive the throw. It'll take it if you're Lynchburg, as it's going to take a lot of miscues and movement on the base paths like that to find your way back in a 7-1 ball game.
The old adage is, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. This is out wide of Sadui for ball one. 1-1.
Going back to the Braves thing in this Central Virginia area. Obviously, like you said, there's that geographical connection to some degree, but also the Braves were just such a cool team in the 90s. I feel like that's part of it. Where that was a brand that I would say would be pretty easy to root for.
And they were nationally televised.
Right, yes.
At that time, they were the only team in baseball to have that national TV deal with Turner Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And even beyond that, they had a team nearby, the Danville Braves. As Sadui gives one a ride into right center field. Kern on the run. He'll make the grab. Dodging Drake. Tagging and going to third is Benjamin. Sadui is retired. Danville only an hour outside of Pittsburgh. Due south. So,
second baseman.
It's not that far with the team here in Lynchburg changing hands so many times. Danville Braves were around for who knows how long.
Yep. Yeah, this might be, I don't know, controversial or not liked by Braves fans, but I've always kind of thought of like the Braves as the Yankees of the South in some ways, being from New England. You'll see Yankees, or I guess Dodgers fans too, where you'll just be Yankees fans from all over the place. I felt like the Braves kind of had a little bit of that in the South, just because of, like we said, the 90s teams and everything like that.
So, you have a pitching staff like they did in the 90s.
Right.
You got your John Smoltz, your Glavins, your you name it. That pitching rotation is one of the best in baseball history, if not the best in baseball history.
The Joneses, too, around the same time.
Yeah, Andrew and Chipper, just absolutely loaded. And to only, I guess now we're going to have to start trashing on Braves fans. We bite them up too much. To only win one World Series in the 90s is a really big shame. I was listening to Dan Patrick the other day. So that's bounced in there, 2-2. And he was talking about the Boston Celtics.
Sure.
And how everyone's saying, this team is one of the best teams of all time.
Okay.
And he said, first of all, you need to win one. Second of all, nobody talks about the 90s Braves as one of the best teams of all time because they only won one.
Right.
But that pitching rotation may be the best of all time. Aldui goes down looking on strikes and the inning is over as the Hillcats still trail heading to the 8th, 9-1. We'll pick up this discussion in the top of the 8th inning because what else do we have to talk about in a game like this? So we'll be back on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Early. Make sure you get the tickets at the Trur-Hillcats.com.
Rockford trails it 9-1. End of the eighth inning. Let's pick up where we were on this Brains discussion. We're sorry to all the Augusta Brains out there and other Brains fans that are tuning into this broadcast. It's kind of turned into let's go after the Brains. But if you look at those 90s teams, they probably should have won more than just one.
Yeah.
And now the immediate clapback that I know we're going to hear, that I know at least I'm going to hear, is a ground ball over into a short nap tickle to tie up in a row. We're at number one to open up the
game.
Now, R1 came against your affiliate, the Cleveland Indians, at the time. And you're right. You're absolutely right. Myself being a Cleveland fan, it hurts to admit, you are right. That was a strike zone. Game 6 of that World Series was a bit wide, if you ask me. As Cade Kern checks a foul for strike one, but, and you could even argue beyond that, that those Cleveland teams of the 90s should have won one.
Yeah.
They were in it in 95, they had a chance in 97, they had one of the best teams in the late 90s of any team in all of baseball, arguably the best lineup in baseball at the time. We had guys like Manny Ramirez, Omar Vizquel, Albert Bell, all sorts of big, Jim Thome, all sorts of big names and Hall of Famers across the lineup for Cleveland. So the Braves fans' argument and clapback could be, you should have gotten at least one. We at least got that.
Yeah.
But back to the matter here. Atlanta in the 90s really just was able to dominate this area because of their strategic marketing.
Yeah.
And you had a lot of talent and you were nationally televised.
Yeah.
And good teams are going to draw a crowd and they're going to draw eyes. Being on national TV, if you're living in Lynchburg at the time, you probably got that channel and could tune in to Braves games as Kern goes down looking for strike two. And that's why you can go all the way from Georgia to South Carolina to North Carolina to Virginia over to Tennessee to the Gulf states of Mississippi, Alabama, and Arkansas. And you're going to find Braves fans all over the place because of those factors. The fact you were that good, you were nationally televised. Now, today, in today's baseball, you look at the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Braves, and they're getting 30, 40 nationally televised games a season.
Yeah.
The Braves had 162.
Yeah.
Think about
it's
that.
It's really hard to picture that with the way that baseball is televised today. It's hard to really even wrap your head around that for someone like me who didn't see it firsthand.
Popped up first base side by Worrell and out of play, 1-2. 162 nationally televised games. You're going to get a lot of eyes and going to have a huge fan base. I mean, it's essentially what Notre Dame did in college football way back in the day and signing a national deal to become an exclusive partner with NBC. You're going to get fans just for the fact that they can watch you every day. As Perez misses downstairs, two balls and two strikes.
Well, it's a good thing they were good. You could argue it would be pretty hard for them not to be with that much revenue coming in. But imagine if it was 162 games of nationally televised baseball, a very average to below average team. But it was a perfect storm, and it makes sense why there's so many Braves fans around the South.
Sanui will track it into right field. He'll make the grab. And the inning goes 1-2-3. And the bottom half of the inning, Lynchburg still trails it by 8. Lynchburg Indians Radio Network.
Check out Creative Edge Design Inc. for your signs, banners, and wrap services. They are a 3M certified graphics installation company backed by a 3M warranty protecting your graphics against any cracking, fading, or peeling for over 10 years. Your graphics will continue to look exactly like they did on the day they were installed. Visit them at cepi.biz for more information. Creative Edge Designs, custom designs for you. Tonight's Hillcast Walkers will be brought to you by KD Country, your home for the greatest country of all time.
1055 KB Country or online at kbcountry.com. The Lynchburg Hillcats are proud to partner with Sheriff Bear Lynchburg and collaborative to help pediatrics to win the Community Champions Program for Lynchburg for the 2024 baseball season. This program will recognize youth groups for showing exceptional levels of hard work, determination, leadership, and sportsmanship. Participating groups will be recognized during the Lynchburg Hillcats home game through complimentary tickets, fan announcement, and group photo on the Hillcats video board. To learn more about the Community Champions Program, please reach out to the Lynchburg Hillcats at 434-528-1141.
9-1 in favor of Augusta. We have the bottom half of the opening Lynchburg. A lot of work to do. We're going to have the top of the order due up against Will Silva. You know, you mentioned right before the break that it's hard to have bad baseball when you're nationally televised.
Yep.
And in between innings, I did some research. And the Braves were
playing on the bottom of the fielder, number 5, Bobby Hawes.
And between 1973 and 1990, they had one playoff appearance. They got swept in 1982 in the NLCS 3-0 in that series. They went 89-73 that season. They would end up losing to the St. Louis Cardinals. And so it took them a while to use that TV revenue to build a talented baseball team. But boy, was it talented. Tommy Hawk flails away for 1-1. Look at the 90s all the way through 2005. They missed the playoffs 1 year. So they made 1 year in 26 seasons, and then in 14 years, they missed once. Crazy. Inside, 2 balls and 2 strikes. That's just how good. We didn't even mention the name Greg Maddux.
Yeah.
He's another member of that rotation. That was dominating. Down and in, full count.
Braves fans now sitting not too bad. You could argue they're right near the top of baseball, and they have been over the last couple of seasons, but kind of in between that 14-year run as Hawk lines one in the summer.
Easy play for Drake. One away.
To what they are now. You know, when I think of Braves baseball growing up, it wasn't horrible for the whole time, but it definitely was some years to forget. I think of some Brian McCann teams, a little bit later than that, Andrelton Simmons, guys like that, that were kind of the best players on those teams. Dan Uglow as well, a little bit older than Simmons, but they weren't setting the world on fire during that time, but gotten right back to it these days. But another case of, I'd like to see him get a couple more with Acuna.
A talented young team in their front office. One of the smartest in baseball. Velasquez takes upstairs 1-0. Locking down all of their young players to contracts well below their value because they just don't have experience. And keeping that core together, that is forward thinking.
Yep.
If you're the Atlanta Braves, and they're going to be competitive for a long, long time. Especially in the division. Velasquez lands it to left field. Worrell will make the grab for number 2. But in a division that you could really argue your only
competition
is their whole season. Really their last 2-3 seasons.
Yeah.
And you have Mets fans wondering, will this team ever be good again? Pittsburgh, they're on the up and up. But they're in the NL Central. And so, on that side of the country, that there might be no real competition for the... I mean, the Miami Marlins aren't going to do anything.
No, the Nationals have a good core, but that's going to be a while, and I mean, there's a lot of speculation there.
The NL, other than outside of the Braves and the Dodgers, is wide open. And the Phillies.
Yeah, it's those three teams, but those are three good teams.
They're three very good teams, but in the National League, it's wide open.
Yeah.
And if you're the Braves, keeping that core, you're going to be one of those three teams for a long time because it's going to be a long road for there to be an established number 4. in the National League. You can argue that Giants, the Padres,
Diamondbacks maybe
because of their run last season that missed in tight 1-2 to Cheerio. But for the Braves, it's wide open. And you could be at the top, right near the top, for the next 5 years plus. 1-2, called strike three on the corner. Churio's retired. And the eighth inning comes to a close here in Lynchburg. We have the ninth. Lynchburg trails at 9-1. Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. We've talked like nothing about this game since this
season. I mean, there hasn't been anything to talk about.
Yeah, for real. I'm fine to keep going.
Yeah, me too.
We can flip it to Cleveland next.
Sure.
Let's talk about the American League.
Yeah.
The Virginia Commonwealth Games coming this summer to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Keep our home fans happy.
Yeah.
Game Supply Center, sponsoring the Hillcats Grunge. Go to J&J for all of your residential and commercial landscaping supply needs, located at 14179 Ward Road across from the Lynchburg Airport, or visit us on the web at jfjcompanies.com for more information.
And if you are still hungry, $2 hot food at the concession stand. All supplies last. $2 hot food at the concession stand.
Does his job. He goes an inning and two thirds. He's only getting up one hit.
And now 53 Hillcats, number 45.
One run.
JT.
No walks and two strikeouts.
Laying off the top of that inning, Wolverine Jack and Kemper.
Another one inning for Kemper. I'll take us to the number three.
J.C. Ackie's got an ERA of 3.58 on the season through 32 and two-thirds innings of pitch. Whip at 126, average against a 250. He has allowed four home runs. He's pitched three times in the month of May, or excuse me, in the month of June, rather, and he hasn't allowed a run throughout this month. He's looked really good through June, where May he struggled. He had an ERA of 5.84 in that month. In April, he was good. Again, 2.93. So it's been... So far, in every other flip-flop situation for Jaziak, but he's on the right end of it here in the third month of the season.
It'll be Godman, Drake, and Sanchez due up for Augusta near the top of the ninth inning. We've been talking about Braves baseball and history that has led them to be such a dominant force here in Lynchburg. So this 1-2 by Godman. But the other team in this equation in Lynchburg is Cleveland.
Yeah.
And you see Cleveland jerseys and hats and gear all across the ballpark, but that's more because of the affinity that has grown because Cleveland is the affiliate.
Yeah, the Hillcat connection.
You look at the guys, and we're going to honor one of them this week in Shane Bieber. You think about the guys who have come through Lynchburg that have pitched for Cleveland. You have Shane Bieber. You have Tristan McKenzie. You have Eli Morgan. You have Sam Henches. You have all these names that have gone on to pitch at the major league level. I mean, even guys like Zach Plesac had a great season a couple of years ago for Cleveland. And they all spent time here in Lynchburg. And you look at the guys who are in the lineup. Look at the Stephen Kwans, the Tyler Freelands, the Jacob Godman swings through it. Number one. And these names and these players,
center fielder number one, Isaiah,
they are who Lynchburg has adapted to and are cheering on and are following.
Right.
And now they're having a tremendous impact at the major league level. And not only are the Braves right near the top of the NL, Cleveland finds themselves right near the top of the American League.
Yeah.
Isaiah Drake takes a called strike 0-1. And it was built from the ground up. You could argue that a lot of it started right here in Lynchburg 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. Missed up and away, one ball, one strike, but talked about how the Braves could be in position to stay around for a while. Cleveland is another team that's built so young, and to be that competitive and that strong at that age, that missed out wide 2-1. I mean, even if they go 500, they still win over 90 games this season, which is an absurd thing to say about a team that's ridiculously young with a new manager. Drake picks up a base hit to left field. Put a runner aboard.
Not a bad day for Isaiah Drake. 3-for-4 now with an RBI and 2 runs scored. But yeah, for Cleveland, you would like to see them continue, because they have done it a little bit, but continue to take a page out of the Braves' book and lock up some of those young guys. That's, to me, what really has impressed me, what the front office, you hit the nail on the head, Jason, we talked about it. For those guys to lock up your Ozzy Albies, who's on like a 7-year, $35-ish million contract or something like that, which is absurd for how good he is. If Cleveland can buy on their young guys now, it can be a really good long-term investment. Now, you can also get burned by that. Like, what if Ozzy Albies fizzes out a couple years ago and isn't the player he is today, and you spent that money on him? But I think that's a risk you're willing to take. And it's kind of betting on your scouting department and your development part of your organization to say, no, we trusted that this guy was good. We think he's good. We think he's going to get better, and we trust our guys to help him along that route. So, yeah, we're going to invest in him. I think that's a great move, especially if you are an organization that has been as good as the Atlanta Braves.
Sanchez deep to center field. Churio in front of the wall, and that's the drop. Great move. Base. And over done. And I like that you say that, Tom, because there are a lot of young players on the Guardians roster that you're going to want to not lock down sooner rather than later. When you look at a guy like Stephen Kwan,
yep.
If you're Cleveland, he needs to be priority number one of a guy that you lock down. And he's one of the best hitters in all of baseball in terms of contact and putting the ball in gaps. You have a guy on the pitching staff like Tanner Bibee,
sure.
He's going to be a strong starting rotation guy for a long time. Right now, Cleveland's been a pitching factory. Might be their weakest point, the starting right. Pitching. But you have a guy like Tanner Bibee who you can lock down for a while. You've already locked down Jose Ramirez. You've locked down Andrés Giménez. And you've locked down Emmanuel Clase for several more years. And so there's your big three. Now you have to start piecing in everything else around it. Ground ball up the middle. Scoop by Altuve. He'll take him to the bag himself. For the final out of the inning. We head to the bottom of the ninth inning. We'll pick up this conversation there about the Guardians. When we come back, it's for Hillcats Radio Network. Silva, 3 innings, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 3 strikeouts. As he dodged his left-handed hitter woes today. Bo Phillip, the new pitcher, right-hander, 5'11", 200 from Sacramento, California. He'll be on to wrap up the ball game. Pittsburgh trailed by 8. Connor, take us through numbers. Bo Phillip.
For Bo Phillip, coming into this start, or this appearance rather, not a lot of pressure on the tall righty. He's up in a game by 8 runs And at this point, you're just looking to have a clean inning. And this is the thing about minor league baseball, right? Sure, the pressure isn't on him. He's up by 8 runs. But when you look back at the box score for today and look at his relief appearance, that's not going to matter. And that's what we're compiling those outings is what will push you up the ladder, up the organization. So for him, you know, this could be a 2-run game or an 8-run game. His livelihood and his future in baseball depends on coming out and making pitches like that.
Oh, a quick out to Natchik. He's retired for out number one. Phillip, 0-3 in 25 innings of work, 5.04 ERA, 3-4 strikeouts. Take his cuts. But as we were saying, in terms of Cleveland, they need to lock down their core. They have several already locked in. Then you need to ask the question, what do you do at first base? You have Josh Naylor.
Right.
You have Kyle Manzardo right there as well. Guys who are coming up the line. Rafi Velasquez. Swung on miss for strike two. You got to make a decision at first base. Who's going to be your first base in the future? Are you going to move Josh Naylor to DH? Are you going to keep him around? I mean, he's a guy that he could be a flexible contract as much as they don't want to say it, but he's a guy that you could use as trade bait to get a bigger and better arm that can compete in both seasons. That's drive up the middle by him and hits. This 7-hitter tonight. But the Guardians fan in me would say, you absolutely cannot trade Josh Naylor. He's one of the most electric and exciting bats in all of baseball. And I don't think, I highly, highly doubt that they would trade Josh Naylor unless the perfect package came along and you're being offered a Cy Young Award winner in exchange for him or maybe a couple other prospects. You're going to have to make a decision rather quickly whether you're going to lock down Josh Naylor. You're going to go with Manzardo and wait for the rest of the organization to catch up at first base.
Yeah, for Naylor, I definitely don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. Because on the other end, you have to look at him as the buyer of who would be Josh Naylor. And it's a guy who's had some injury concerns in the past. Now, that's kind of been swept under the rug a little bit because he's put together some more clean seasons. But he's a little bit of a guy without a position. He's played first a lot for Cleveland, obviously, but he's not great at that position. But for Guardians fans, I think the front office as well, that's a guy that you can really get behind. He seems like he is the spark plug in the middle of that order. And I agree. I don't think he's going anywhere soon. One thing about Cleveland that's impressed me is kind of the under-the-radar AAA guys. This is grounded to second. No double play in order. Maybe he's going to get to second. Is, as I was saying, yeah, some of the under-the-radar AAA guys that came up and made an impact right away. David Fry, one of them. He had some major league experience, but he's a guy that, you know, didn't have that high prospect pedigree. I think he was 27 this season, something like that. So he's a guy that took a while in the minor leagues to develop. And then Daniel Sneeman, who came up halfway through the season and is kind of just making his mark now. Another player who's come up from AAA, he was lighting it up in Columbus, played a lot of shortstop, and now he's been a fixture in that outfield and has looked really good for them as well. Like, those are guys that you probably didn't count on being integral pieces, more Fry than Sneeman, although we could see what happens there. But they've been able to feed in from the farm system guys that aren't on your top 30 prospect list that have been impact players for them. And that's huge to not have to go out, especially for an organization like Cleveland, and spend money on a free agent signing when you can bring someone up from AAA as an experienced guy who's been in the minors for several seasons and come up to the major league level and you can depend on day in and day out. That's huge.
David Fry, what a surprise he has been for Cleveland. I mean, on the season, as Durango pops it up toward third base, this could end the ball game as Sanchez will make the grab to end it. We'll wrap up our thought here before we
talk about
the season. David Fry. OPS of still over 1,000, 126
for meeting Wednesday.
Here in Lynchburg, no catch ball, 9-1 to Augusta. We'll step aside and recap it at the end of this Lynchburg recap.
Please drive home safely.
Not many names to pick from for Hellcat Hero Tone. We'll go with Manuel Mejia. He had a double, an RBI, and a single as well. So a two-hit day for a guy who was struggling in all aspects of the game, but he was able to pick up two hits, including the Hellcat's lone RBI tonight. They fall 9-1. Not much to talk about tonight in terms of recapping the ball game. Augusta scored first in the first inning. They let off the game with a double. After Gunn would drive it home with a sacrifice fly. Lynchburg would tie it up in the fourth inning on the Mejia's double. And then in the sixth, it would be Drake again who would double and come around to score. And then in the seventh, the floodgates opened, a seven-run inning for the Green Jackets. And that would bury the ball game as the Hillcats fall 9-1.
Yeah, for Lynchburg, it's just a messy seventh where seven comes across. That felt like the game was pretty much lost at that point, and Brett Mara has his first big hiccup in the Carolina League. The offense left a lot to be desired. Our new catcher, Manuel Mejia, it's good to see him find some production at the dish. You hope that sets him back on the path we saw in April, but I think you could continue to see this for Lynchburg. You know, no Angel Hanauen, that's a big loss. He was your four-hitter, also knowing Tunia today, who's been tearing it up and kind of filling those shoes. Four and now in that four spot. Both of those guys not in the lineup, of course, and now no longer with the team, like County and Tobias not in the lineup today. That leaves a big hole in the middle of that order that you really felt today. It was a good start for Richardson, another good start for Alonzo Richardson. It's been really good to see him continue to piece those together and nail down some of that consistency which was lacking last season, even earlier in this season. It's good to see him string together some good starts. It's going to be fun to continue to watch him throughout the season here in Lynchburg. The offense just didn't come to play today, and that seventh inning was one to forget for Lynchburg. That's what you got to do. Flush this one, come back tomorrow, because you got some work to do if you want to catch the Mudcats. For me, I think you got to win out from this point on here against the Green Jackets. You really want a chance at that top spot. You got some more wiggle room than that. There is some more games left to be played, but if you really want to make things interesting, I think you got to look for one out.
9 runs, 12 hits, 1 error for Augusta. 1 run, 6 hits, no errors for the Hillcats as they fall today 9-1. Lynchburg falls a little further back of Carolina at the moment as that game. You will give us an update on it. We come back from break. We step aside. Once again, Connor Young will take you the rest of the way. Lynchburg falling today 9-1. I'm Jason Bell saying good night. God bless and go Hillcats. All right.
Sweet. Yep. Thank you. 9-1, the final here from Lynchburg as we take a look around the Carolina League and the Carolina League scoreboard. Fredericksburg, they fall to Carolina 3-1, so Mudcats will increase the game lead in the North Division, where Lynchburg, as we noted, falls 9-1 here at the Franklin James Stadium. Down East, they go out on top over the River Dogs in game 1, 5-0 in a shutout, so they'll lap Lynchburg in the standings as well. Fayetteville and Salem, 3-1 win for the Red Sox. Delmarva, the bottom of the 7th against Kannapolis, that game taking a while. 7:05 p.m. Eastern start from Myrtle Beach and Columbia as well. That one already wrapped up. Delmarva and Kannapolis only in the bottom of the 7th. 1-1 tie so far from Arthur W. Purdue Stadium. Columbia and Myrtle Beach, it was a 2-0 win for the Pelicans in a quick one. With that, let's take a look at who our starting pitching matchup will be tomorrow. It'll be Didier Fuentes versus Alex Clemmy. For Fuentes, he takes the ball on an extra day of rest, coming off an outing in which he allowed 3 runs in 4 innings, struggling at times with fastball command. We saw that today from Jeremy Reyes, but it wasn't too much of an issue for the Green Jackets, as Reyes was able to hold the Hillcats to just 1 lone run, and the bullpen did even better, holding Lynchburg scoreless after Reyes left the game. For Clemmy, he's also a guy that at times has struggled with fastball command, but when that has been on for Clemmy, he's looked like one of the best pitchers in the Carolina League, in my opinion. He has electric strikeout stuff. Just comes down to, is he going to be able to throw strikes on any given day? If he has that command dialed in, you could be seeing something special every single time that he takes the ball. So that's who we're going to be expecting tomorrow in Game 2. Lynchburg trails in the series 0-1 to the Green Jackets, who now have won 4 games straight. Lynchburg, on the other end, not been as fortunate. They're coming off a tough series against Delmarva, where they dropped their 2nd series of the year to the Shorebirds, and now they drop the home opener to the Augusta Green Jackets. Make that worse, rather, the Mudcats beat Fredericksburg to increase their grip on the top spot. But from Lynchburg, this has been Connor Young saying so long for Jason Prill from the Bank of the James Stadium, where your final, for one final time, is 9-1. Green Jackets over Lynchburg. They lead the series 1-0. We'll be back tomorrow at 6:10 for the pregame show, as always, on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.